If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The GOP is testing out a new attack line against President Obama after his administration decided to delay the Obamacare mandate for large employers until 2015.
The businesses can get relief from Obamacare. The rest of America ought to be able to get relief as well.
House Speaker John Boehner hinted today that the House may vote yet again to repeal the health care law. The White House, meanwhile, is defending the president's decision.
A piece of legislation like this, to be responsibly implemented, needs to be implemented in a flexible way.
Spokesman Jay Carney accused Republicans of wasting time by trying to repeal the law. And Democrats are pleading with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to allow votes on President Obama's nominees to the National Labor Relations Board. Obama appointed two new members to the board last year, but a federal court ruled that it happened while the Senate was in recess. McConnell and other Senate Republicans supported the court's decision, which the Supreme Court will review this fall. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women Patriots. And also, there's some more breaking news tonight. In Illinois, the General Assembly voted to override governor's veto of concealed carry. Yay. Maybe they'll finally get some order over in that area. Tonight, we have a special guest coming on tonight. He's going to be calling in a little while, and it's Dan Bongino, and I'm really excited. For those who don't know who he is a ex-Secret Service and agent. And he's running for Congress in Maryland, and he's also a huge firearms activist. So I'm really excited to get him on here and talk to him. I have seen him on other interviews and at rallies, and he's good to go. We need more of him up there in the House because we need to get rid of all these other people up there. Anyway, we have other things going on. I don't know what was going on in the Trayvon Martin case, but that should have been apparently an open and shut case. It shouldn't have even gone to trial from what I understand. But I do understand that the prosecutor was indicted for fraud. So, hey, that's always a good one. And also, Rand Paul issued a follow-up letter to a piece of correspondence that was sent on the 20th of June to the FBI director, Robert Mueller, regarding the concerns over recent remarks he made. They had the hearings today for the new FBI director, and let's see what happens there. I'm sure, I think they were going to try to have him confirmed by week's end, but I'm not sure. Nobody ever knows what's going on until it happens. But Obamacare and the delay. Well, the House is going, oh geez, sorry about that, guys. The IRS is not going to be getting their $70 million bonuses because of the Social Security numbers that had, got put out there by accident. They need to be defunded as well. We need to get rid of the IRS. We need to start really working on getting this administration and the government down. It's just too big for people. It's also been said that now there's more people on food stamps than there are working. That's always an interesting thing, especially when they're trying to bring illegals in to this country. That just isn't, the House isn't going to take on the Senate bill. They're going to change it and write their own. And in my gut feeling is that it's going to happen. This is going to happen. I don't know about the borders. I want them sealed. If nobody has seen They Come to America by Dennis Michael Lynch, go to that website, check it out, send it to your friends. I've been doing that. I've been sending it to my representatives. I've been making calls to my representative. I've been sending it to everyone I can think of in the Senate, anybody that I have a page or Twitter that I'm following, because this stuff needs to be out there. It's too important for them not to see exactly what's going on. You know, there's things that are coming back up in the news, and it's still happening. You know, the terrorists are coming into this country. And Janet Napolitano says that the borders are secure. No, they are not secure. There's a new thing. They have water over there by the fence when they come in. Water. Paid for by the government. But our border agents can't do their job. It just really gets me insane. And let me go ahead and take care of a little bit of business here. Our caller, Dan, is going to be calling in about 5 minutes. So conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from a volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spread out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so be sure to check him out. Brought to you by Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Okay, and if anybody wants to call in to ask questions or just to get in on a conversation, our number here is 718-305-7176. And let's see, we've got Rand Paul. you know, when we all found out that Obama had all of his crony friends there, he had Bill Ayers, just the guy down the neighborhood. We know better. We know more about that today. And now, in Yahoo News today, their libertarian senator, new media guy, has pro-Confederate past filled with controversial comments. I'm sure somebody may have made comments here or there at some point in their life. And to go back so many years, it's like Paula Deen. That was like 30 years ago. Let it go already. I don't understand these people. They just drive me batty. Why they have to bring up all this other nonsense. It just to bring people down and, you know, to point the finger at others. And when you point the one finger, three come back to you. So my thing is, if you start pointing the finger at somebody else, it's all because of what is inside of you. So the Obama administration's calling Tea Party the terrorist and the racist. Well, he needs to look in the mirror, because that's how I feel. He's projecting his feelings and all his inner stuff on everybody else, because we know we're not racist and we're not terrorists. We just want our country back. Also, I found this other TSA story here. A wounded war veteran has described a moment of security agents treating him like terrorists on a recent trip to California because he couldn't raise his injured right arm in a full body scanner and his dress uniform contains too much metal. Corporal Nathan Kenitez was awarded a Purple Heart after he almost died in 2004 from an injury incurred from a roadside bomb in Fallujah. The brave soldier recently traveled to Sacramento to receive another award as his district veteran of the year. Yet, what should have been a celebratory experience was tainted when suspicious security workers at both Sacramento International Airport and California State Capitol building subjected him to intense screenings and even ordered him to take off his uniform. How dare they? It just really... These are people who protect us, who save us. And these are things that are not big in the news. You know, we have... there's a lot of different pages out there. But one that gets, that's a really good one that I chime in with, and I also go and play with the media to get the message out. We need to do that because the media is not putting out the facts. I know a lot of people are getting the facts taken off of Facebook, unless it's something really silly, like, you know, 20 years ago somebody said something. But Rage Against the Media, Al Jazeera's, it's from BizPack Review. It appears the media bias isn't confined to the United States, saying news coverage was out of sync with real events in Egypt. 22 staff members on Monday walked out of the offices, the news channel Al Jazeera, according to the Gulf News, but because they're not going to take it anymore. But unfortunately, our media does take it. Let me go ahead and just do a couple of more little PSAs and be right back.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Okay, everybody, and we're back. And we have Dan Mangino on the line with us, and he's going to talk to us. Welcome to Women Patriots.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks. We could go ahead, go to www.bongino.com, and you come up to Dan's page for Congress. He needs all the help he can get for everybody in that area. So tell us about yourself, Dan. You were an ex-Secret Service agent.
That's right. I spent 12 years at the Secret Service. Worked for President Obama for 2 years, 3 years for President Bush. And one of the myths about the Secret Service is that everybody's on presidential protection all the time, and that's not true. It's actually a very small subset of the Secret Service that's involved in presidential protection at any given time. The majority of Secret Service agents are usually out in the field investigating criminal cases, and that's where I was for the other 7 years. I said two with Obama and three with President Bush. The rest of the time was spent a little bit in training. I was an instructor for 2.5 years. I was an operations guy. It was a little boring. I'm not much for sitting behind a desk. I spent some time in the New York field office, the Baltimore office, and I was a New York City police officer before that, which was an exciting job, helped me pay for college and graduate school. And I left to run for the U.S. Senate in 2012. We won the primary, but unfortunately we did not prevail in the general election, which was very disappointing, considering we have lofty goals of my campaign. So we were a little disappointed in the loss, but we're back, so we're going to take this one.
Yeah. We need people like you in there. This is one of my things, not only does a congressman work for their area that they represent, they also work for everybody because they actually say what we want. You know, I know you're very pro-gun activist. I've seen you at rallies. I've seen you on other shows. I've heard you. We need people like you. I mean, we've got a couple in there now that we need to keep in there, but a lot of them have to go.
Well, you have to. The problem we have is we have people who are political animals first and fighters for a philosophical or ideological cause second. And that's the difference. You know, we have a government right now, and I saw it up close and personal for the large majority of my 12-year career on the inside. Now, I have actually a book coming out describing some of my experiences in that. We have a government really run by crony insiders, you know, big campaign donors, career bureaucrats who are becoming more powerful than elected officials. You know, an administrative state that's the result of it, and it's detached what should be a citizen-centric, service-centric government, service-oriented, detached it from the people. I mean, you have to think about it this way, and this is just, again, based on my experience, what I've been embedded in and what I saw. You know, when you have a government that, where the administrative bureaucratic state has grown so big that responsibility for really anything is diffused amongst so many, then no one has responsibility for anything. So when you see scenarios like Benghazi and the failures up, you know, leading up to Boston, the Boston attack, and Fast and Furious, the, you know, the gun running scandal, these things didn't surprise me at all. And I have very down-to-earth, reasonable explanations as to why these things happen. It's not that your government is composed of people who are malicious or want to hurt you. That's not my experience. My experience is it's generally full of good people who go to work in the morning just like you do. But it's not them who failed you. It's the design, the orientation, the setup, the way our government operates now, that failure is the only option. There's no way it can succeed under the explosive growth that we're looking at now. And something's got to change.
Yeah, that's for sure. I had a question that I just slipped out of my head. Oh, no, not good. From your experience there at the White House, how different was it for different presidents?
Well, it's always different. They all have different personalities. I started under President Clinton, actually, in 1999. And, they all get up at different times, and some stay late and some stay early, and they have different pets. And, you know, the kids were younger, of course, with the Obamas, and the one child was younger in the Clinton administration. In the Bush administration, they were college age, and I actually spent a significant amount of time with Jenna, a little bit of time with Barbara as well, traveling around South America with them. So, of course, there's going to be different patterns of behavior, being that, you know, they run completely different households. But what's different, you know, I hate to tell you, but everything stays the same for you when the administration changes. You know, I was there for the inauguration of President Obama, and although I have, you know, deep, profound policy differences with the president, you know, I was there for the inauguration. The inauguration was this historic day. It was America's, you know, first black president. And next day, we just went to work like nothing had changed. It's almost very anticlimactic being a Secret Service agent because, as I said, nothing really changes for you. You know, the mission stays the same, and the mission's a noble one. You know, this man or, who knows, woman in the future, if that's the case, you know, they stay alive. Well, you don't know. It could be one, you don't know, either side. I think we have a burgeoning young group of terrific young female Republicans who are really shaking up the system. You know, we got Kristi Noem, so you never know. But, again, the mission's clear. You know, keep these folks alive no matter what. And if something happens, basically you die first. I mean, it's a simple mission. Now the brain game that goes into keeping everyone safe is detailed and advanced, and it's actually called an advanced too, and extremely difficult to learn. I mean, I spent 5 years with the president protecting them in war zones and conflict areas, you know, areas where you get danger pay because it's dangerous to go out of your hotel room, and I never had anyone hurt on my watch, and I can tell you it takes a really, really long time and a lot of dedication to learn how to do that. It's not easy.
Well, you know, I have also noticed when I've watched you in some clips that you're always looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like you're always like suspicious of everything, making sure everybody's behaving, I guess.
Well, it becomes a really ingrained, almost bad habit at times. I mean, even in restaurants, when I sit down in restaurants to eat, I have this tendency to want to sit and look at the door. There are law enforcement behaviors that you just, they call it the duck walk in law enforcement sometimes, when you're always patting your right hip with your elbow to make sure your gun is there. You do it instinctively. You don't do it because, you know, you're trying to walk funny. You do it because it's just over time, these things just become part of your everyday. It's like when I was in graduate school, they used to call them fixed action patterns. So you just engage them. And I think on my campaign, I'm always, it's not that I'm trying to do it. I'm not, worried about anyone attacking me or anything. It's just things I do. I'm always aware of my surroundings, and I'm always looking around. It's almost fidgety sometimes when I do it. I've noticed that myself when I look at the, I try not to watch too much video, but when I do see it, I've noticed that myself.
I'm observant. Now, also, we were talking about the government, and it's big, and it's all cronyism, big money, big politicians, which totally gets us off the Constitution of the United States of America, which basically what we were founded on. And where I know you believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And like I said earlier, I know you're a big activist for firearms. What else is there that you have a passion for?
Well, the Constitution, it's a very simple rule book. Mm-hmm. But I would argue to your listeners, and I've argued over and over again when I give speeches that, and this is unfortunate that I have to say this to you, we are already in a post-constitutional society. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at the mounds of regulations and the administrative state, you know, the suppressive red tape put on businesses by everyone from, the EPA to, the SEC to the IRS. It's meant to get you into a psychological state where the administrative state is really become the overseer of everything. We're already in that. They've used the general welfare clause to justify every intrusion into your life. And, I think, whereas it's frustrating because, when I gave a speech at the Morton Blackwell's Leadership Institute on the 4th of July, and what frustrates me most of all, being actively involved in in politics and specifically libertarian and conservative politics and being out there and giving speeches and going to rallies, is there are some people who I think don't understand the fight we're in. And the language is important too, and not to be smart with you, but it's really not about being an activist for guns. Matter of fact, it's not about being an activist for the repeal of Obamacare or for pro-growth taxes either. It's about being an activist for liberty, because mm-hmm. none of it, all of those arguments are the same. Well, when I get up there, that's why, oddly, when you listen to that one speech I gave, for example, on guns that went viral, it's probably at a millions plus views right now amongst all the copies. Very rarely do I actually mention guns in the speech. Because I say to gun owners, it's not really about guns. It's about liberty and the different forms, real liberty. I mean, it's just a word, but it takes a real form, a material form. The liberty that's in jeopardy by this intrusion on our Second Amendment is a self-protection liberty. That's a real freedom, the ability to protect yourself. It's a tautological statement, what I just said. That's in jeopardy. It's the same argument. It's the same thing with taxes. It's really not an argument about taxes. It's more an argument about economic freedom. And the health care debate with Obamacare, it's not really about health care. I think most people are starting to get that. It's about control of health care, the ability to make your health care decisions. So it's all the same argument.
Yeah. And there are so many people that really don't know what any of it is. They don't know what country we broke away from. They don't know what the Declaration of Independence true meaning is. And, you know, the IRS also has grown, and I know that this has been happening for a really long time with the bigger government, and the way I describe it, it's like when you get a pimple on your face and it comes to a head.
Ah,
and
that's gross.
I know it's gross. I'm sorry. But that's really the only analogy that I've got for it. It's coming to a head and it's popping because now it's spewing all over.
Now, that's getting rougher as we move along. Let's go to a different analogy on that one. No, I listen.
You got a better one?
you have to. It's very important that people understand as well that these are arguments that are being moved along very slowly and deliberately. They're being done for a reason, because they like to move the goalpost. That way the field goal doesn't look that long. But you can't just pick up the goalpost and run 20 yards down the field. What they do is they move it inches and inches and inches. You thought you were kicking a 20-yarder, and 20 years later you're kicking a 63-yarder, which is nearly impossible. And that's what's happening. And that's why I want to sound the siren. And whenever I give a speech, I say to people all the time, I'd be happy to answer any one of your questions about a very specific policy prescription. You know, what's my plan for Social Security? What's your plan for marginal tax rates? What's your plan on the, do you have a stance on the fair tax, the flat tax, HR 25? That's my responsibility to know that. I do an obscene amount of homework on each individual issue so that I have a very detailed, nuanced answer. But I would prefer not to talk about that in speeches initially, because the fight we have is bigger than that. You know, a 35% tax rate versus a 39.6 tax rate, which we're at now. You know, 35 we were at last year, as a matter of fact. In the big scheme of things, these attacks on liberty, these are just small subsets of that argument. This is a legitimate attack on individuals and individual entrepreneurialism, and it's being done slowly, so you don't understand the danger your freedom, and your liberty is in. But liberty is a zero-sum game. Make no mistake. You know, it can't belong to you and to someone else at the same time.
That's true. But a lot of people also think that, you know, they don't want responsibility, so they'll give it to somebody else, hence the government. And they're taking it.
Well, when you think about that from a logic perspective, I mean, the college, like Modus Tonens, Modus Polens, remember that from college? When you think about it that way from a logical perspective, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if no man, as has been said many times, is intelligent enough to govern himself, then what other man is intelligent enough to govern another man? I mean, think about that. It doesn't make any logical sense. That's why the myth of liberalism is a myth and can never possibly work. It's based on a philosophy. It's anchored in a philosophy that can't possibly make any sense. And when you read the works of Friedman, you know, and Sowell and Schumpeter, they were economists, but I would strongly argue that they weren't, that they were philosophers first and economists second. They make these points. You know, if no man is smart enough to govern himself, then how is another man smart enough to govern him? It doesn't make any sense, and it is destined to fail. And that's what the entire argument about Obamacare, that's what it's anchored in. It's anchored in the empowerment of other men. You know, people argue this point to me all the time, and I tell them to look it up. The IPAM, the Independence Payment Advisory Board, the PST, the Preventive Services Task Force, you know, MedPAC, the Medicaid Payments Advisory Commission. These are all commissions, boards, groups that are all there to take away your ability to make your own healthcare decisions. That's what they're there for. I mean, what do you think they're there for? So,
right.
That's based on a philosophy, again, that can't possibly work. I mean, make it granular on the healthcare issue. If I am not smart enough to make my own healthcare decisions, then how are you smart enough to make them for me? I mean, does that make any factual, logical? Of course it doesn't. It's nonsense. But that's what Obamacare is based on, and that's why, really, to sum it up, that's why you're seeing this utter collapse right now. It's based on philosophical and economic principles that not won't work. They can't work. It's not possible.
Right. So, what is the biggest focus for you when you get into Congress?
Well, we need tax reform. I mean, real tax reform. Tax reform that wipes the slate clean and starts over. Because tax reform, it may not be the most appealing topic to talk about, but I'm telling you, it's at the root of all your problems with your government. The reason the government is so empowered right now, it's not the cronyists. The cronyists are always going to be a problem. Crony capitalists and, you know, corruption inside a business, it's always going to be. It's never going to go away, ever. We're fallible human beings. You have zero chance, unfortunately, of that disappearing. We can fight it, but it's not going to go anywhere. They're not as much of a problem as the government that empowers them. I mean, remember, these folks are largely empowering our government officials because our government officials use the tax code as a weapon against other businesses who aren't, you know, don't have a multi-million-dollar lobby. So if you go in there and you sell whatever, white T-shirts, and you want a tax break for white T-shirts, that tax break could be worth millions of dollars. Well, Company B that doesn't have an army of lobbyists and didn't give you a donation, well, they're $1 million in the hole because you've just gotten a subsidized taxpayer benefit. It's not the T-shirt company seeking the benefit that's the issue. It's the government that empowers it. That's the great irony of the Occupy Wall Street crowd. That they argue for this, you hear them fighting out, the big businesses, it's big oil, it's big pharma, they never mention big entertainment or big technologies, probably because they like iPhones and watch movies, but yeah, they say that,
right.
And they want to trade it for a government that they can't escape ever. So it's like, let me argue against, whatever, BP, because I don't like BP, but I can go shop at whatever, ExxonMobil, whatever you choose. But I want to then fight to empower a government that if they hurt me and target me, I can never get away from them. It's just, I don't know, it's a nonsensical argument. I don't know how we lost the liberty argument.
Somebody in our chat room, P-Dog, wants to know if you prefer flat tax over any other, I know you want this tax that we've got now, but do you prefer
right.
a flat tax?
The debate now is largely about income tax, flat tax, fair tax. Here's the issue. There are two separate issues here. The first is what's politically sellable, and that's a terrible answer to give, but it's the truth. And the second is what's more efficient. The the fair tax is by far more economically efficient. There's no question about it, and it's based on a simple economic fact. Consumption of a product is destruction of it, correct? I mean, if you buy a Gatorade at the store and you drink it and throw it away, you consume, you destroy it. That's the destruction of wealth, right? So when you consume something, it's, again, the destruction of wealth, not the creation of it. If you're going to tax anything, which is a disincentive to buy, correct? Because if you tax something, you're making the price higher. No one goes, I got to buy a car, but don't worry, it was only $31,000 and the other $9,000 was taxed. They don't. No one says that. They tell you what the price is. So my point is, if you're going to disincentivize an activity by taxing it, do you want to tax consumption, or do you want to tax work? The answer is obvious. You want to tax consumption. The fair tax will always be more efficient. The problem with the fair tax right now is we have an amendment to the Constitution allowing income taxes. Now, there is a sunset provision built in to most of the legislation on the fair tax, but I'm not sure if I trust our government to stick to that. So that's my problem. So not to give you a long whirlwind answer, but Bottom line is the fare tax is by far more efficient. I would like to see us move to a fare tax model, but it may require the implementation of a flat tax first as a path to it. It's just more politically right now, it may be the only way, or else what we're going to wind up with is an income tax and a consumption tax.
Yeah. Yeah, and we the people get screwed again.
Yeah, not uncommon.
No, it's not. If anybody wants to call in, if they have any questions, the number is 718-305-7176. Do you have a couple more minutes? Because I've got to take a break.
5 more minutes. Yeah, I have to be off at 8:45. I have another interview to do at 8:45.
Okay. All right. This will just take a second.
Sure.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. Where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Okay, thanks. People can reach you. I had grabbed that earlier at www.bongino.com. That's B-O-N-G-I-N-O.
Right.
What are your last thoughts? I mean, we're excited, like I said earlier, you know, if you don't just work for your area, you work for, and you know, and that's one thing that I feel those people up there in office right now forget. They forget they work for the people. And they do their own selfish whatever they want to do. Because I know my rep, I can't stomach him, but I still put up the fight. I still call him. I still send letters. And he
Who's
told
your
me,
rep?
David Price. I'm in North Carolina.
Okay, I saw a 718 number. It's a New York exchange. I thought that you may be up in New York.
Oh no, no, that's just the number for the station. But yeah, my I left New York. I lived up on Long Island. I couldn't afford to live up there anymore. I had to leave, and it's even more expensive now.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong to call them and challenge them, and I like to leave people with this thought. You know, Eckhart Tolle wrote a book called The Power of Now. You know, whether you agree with his philosophy or not, there's a lot of things I object to in the book, but it's a pretty profound statement because he's right. You know, folks, there's only power in right now. Yesterday is over. And it's just a movie that plays in your head. It's gone. It's disappeared. It's finished forever. We lost. We took a bad loss in the election. I was one of them. I lost the Senate seat. It's over. You have to move on. I think we're starting to get past that complaining phase, which is good. I've been hearing a change in talk radio. But there's real power in this election, this midterm. Midterm elections are usually heavily weighted towards the Republican Party. If you are not voting, if you're not volunteering, if you're not, as you said, calling your representative, emailing, even if you don't think it's doing anything, I promise you, it is. I was in the White House. I remember when the White House phone grid would shut down because of Obamacare. I assure you, it matters. It may not matter at that moment. It's not that your phone call is going to change legislation, but it's going to add to a plethora of negative publicity they're going to get on bad legislation, and they need to hear about it. They need to know people are listening. So stay involved. There's power in now, and that power is to change the future. You know, it hasn't happened yet. There's apprehension in it. There's excitement in it, But you're not going to change a damn thing about the future if you don't do something right now. So get involved, get out there, and you really should be volunteering for a campaign. My great regret when I was a Secret Service agent was the Hatch Act. I had to abide by the spirit and the letter of the law, and I could not get involved in a campaign. I made donations. I was a member of my Republican club, another Republican club in the area as well. And you have to get involved, because if you're just talking and you're not doing, you're not part of the problem. Unfortunately, you're the problem.
Right, that's what I keep telling people. Well, Dan, I know you've got to run. You've got another interview to do, but I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking to us about what's going on for you, and we wish you luck. And if there's anything that we could do here for you, just let us know. You guys have my email address, and we'll be more than happy to do what we can for you.
Yeah, please share our Facebook page. It's Dan Bongino. We're building a huge audience out there, so it really matters. We'd really appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
All right, Dan. We'll talk soon. Take care.
All right. Good luck. Okay, Dan Bongino. I was really excited to have him here. He sounds great. And if you're listening and you're up in the Maryland area in his district, you got to vote for him. You got to go out. You got to help him, because he needs help. We need to get him in office. They work for all of us. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365 days. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. And now, Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that if you join LifeLock, you get the first 30 days free and 10% off the regular price from then on, only through conservativenationradio.org. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to the conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org, and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be glad you did.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Okay, so what'd you all think of that interview? I know, P-Dog, you aren't too happy because you want the fair tax. Whoops, did I say that right? Did you want the fair tax or the flat tax? I don't even remember. It was so far up there. But I thought it was great. I was so glad that Dan had the time to come on and talk to us. And I was just kind of scanning through the web a little bit. And this is from the beginning of the year, back in January, and Americans around the nation were shocked Friday as they heard about HJ Resolution 15. HJ Res 15 proposes an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to repeal the 22nd Amendment. This would remove the limitation on the number of terms an individual may serve as president. Representative Jose Serrano of New York, oh surprise, introduced the controversial
joint resolution the second day of the 213th legislature. I have to look more into that because I haven't heard anything more about that. And if that got swept under the carpet and is going to be one of those backdoor deals, that's not going to fly with me at all. I will not be a happy camper. But anyway, if anybody wants to call in, get in on the discussion, 718-305-7176. And we have some more here on Benghazi, which is very near and dear to my heart. A key witness to the military's response of the September 11th attack in the consulate hasn't appeared before Congress to testify about what he knows, and Utah Republican Representative Jason Chavez, I love him too at the House, who sits on his powerful House Oversight and Government Affairs Committee, is losing his patience with the Pentagon. The Obama administration Defense Department has so far declined to tell the committee anything about Colonel George Bristol's whereabouts, despite his position until March of this year as commander of Joint Special Operations Task Force Trans-Syria. The Department of Defense is not willing to pass along any sort of information. That's unbelievably frustrating. Bristol's former unit played a big role, played a key role in what unfolded as armed terrorists executed military attack on Benghazi post. Tired of the lies from this government. We know it was a terrorist attack. I don't know why the president will not say it. The other big thing in news is Egypt, which is another thing that gets me crazy, because if they're calling it a military coup in Egypt, but this president and nobody here will call it a military coup, because then they would have to give up their power, the money. They will not get any financial assistance from us, and Obama doesn't want to say that because he doesn't want to do it. And that gets on my last nerve, because we don't need to be arming and funding people that hate us. Even from Egypt, they're saying, step out, leave us alone. And they're not doing that. And again, that really gets me insane. But like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you Soldiers of Patriotism Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. Hey, it wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And again, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. And, you know, I have a huge problem with the way, just like everybody else, the way this government is being run. It's
it's just, I don't, I want to be able to do more. I want to go in their face and say, cut the crap. I'd probably get arrested. My husband kind of, you know, when I tell my husband this, he gets mad at me. He kind of gives me that eye like, we don't have bail money. Okay, and we have, I believe it's Barbara from Dearborn. Barb, I tried to call you. Is this Barb?
You did.
Hey, how
when
are
did,
you?
When, let me turn this thing off. Hold on a second. Okay, now it's, when did you call?
Oh, I tried to call you a while ago, but your phone number was disconnected.
No, no, it's well, not. You know what? I'll put it in the private message again. But anyway, you said, you know, you wanted to talk. I went to the Arabic restaurant on Sunday. And I asked one of the guys there. He actually, his family is from Lebanon. And I said, listen, I want to ask you, what is your take on what's going on there in Egypt? And so he told me, you know, he said, well, they ran an election and Morsi lied to the people. Apparently the people don't like to be lied to, so they put him out. And he became a dictator. And he said if they do it again, they'll put him out again. Apparently, the Egyptian people are a little bit more aggressive than we are, and they just don't tolerate all this lying.
Yeah.
And I didn't lead the conversation. And I said, well, what do you think America needs to do? He says they need to stay home and get out of there. So, you know, and you know, he is a Muslim man, I believe. And we have both. We have Muslims and Chaldeans. And so I talked to all of them. Somebody just wrote in the chat room, how can you stand living there? Well, you know, I know how to act for one thing. Basically, you're polite, they're polite back. I don't have a minute of trouble. I never have. So.
Well, that's a good thing. But
yes,
what about-
it is. But, you know, I'm a little bit older, and they do respect age. Now, that's not to say that there couldn't be a problem, but basically we get along pretty well. And, you know, I'm with them every day. You know, they're at the grocery store, they're at the restaurant, they're at the, you know, the pharmacies, and I really have not had a bit of trouble so far.
Well, that's good. What about the violence in Dearborn? Has that gone down some?
Well, I haven't heard about it. Now, I did talk to a girl a few weeks ago, and she's Muslim, again at the restaurant, and she said, oh, she said the young men are so violent. She said, and it sounded as if they were fighting amongst themselves, like gang wars. And that's where if there's going to be a problem, it will be with the youth, okay? They'll get something going. And, of course, the different sex, they get to fighting amongst themselves. But I have I witnessed it? I have not. Okay.
Oh, well, that's
interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. By and large, the problem that we had last year at the Muslim festival, the residents of Dearborn, basically it was either underreported or not reported at all. I never knew about it till I found the video on YouTube. I mean, you know, I'm on YouTube looking at something totally different, and here it is, and I noticed Dearborn and stoning, and I went, what's that? I clicked into it. I was amazed. We didn't really, it was reported, it was underreported. I called my sister-in-law, who lives about a mile from here. I said, did you know about this? And she said, well, no, let me ask my husband. He said, yeah, there was a little ad in the paper, a little something about it. So really the residents of Dearborn, unless they were right down there, just really didn't know. Well, I was appalled, so I proceeded to call every official in Michigan and a few in Washington.
Good.
Okay, what's going on? Oh, I did. Oh, I screamed to high heaven. Because if you watch the video, the police stood down to a bunch of children.
Right.
And I just told him, I said, look, me and two other angry grandmothers could have done a better job than those police that were prancing around on horses and chatting. You know, they just did not want to engage those kids. And I would say they were from 17 on down. Okay? So, you know, I called the police department, and the first thing I was told, well, we weren't responsible for that. And I said, well, who was? I said, I saw your cars in that video. Well, no, it was Wayne County Sheriff's Department. So I made the rounds. I called them. I called the governor's office. Oh, ma'am, the governor has taken care of it. He's made another law. At that point, I lost it. I said, we didn't need another law. We have laws on the books about assault. Did you see that video? I mean, it was, you know, I said, you've got all those kids, their faces, the close-ups. Why are we not going to the school and talking to those kids and going and talking to the parents? You know, you've got all the proof you need. Do something about this. Well, I don't know if they did or not, to be in all fairness. But I called everybody and, you know, got very little feedback.
Wow.
So this year what they did is they canceled it. First they were going to move it, and then all of a sudden it was just canceled abruptly. Now that is a very, very big deal. That was a lot of revenue, you know, and so there had to have been some politics behind that that I just didn't know about. I know that the Christians sued and won the lawsuit to the tune of $300,000.
Good.
And that figure was supposed to have been kept silenced by court order, but the reporter at the Dearborn Press filed a freedom of information thing, and so he got the figure and published it. So that's what it was. But that figure was not to be known.
Wow.
By court order. But there it was in the paper, so I'm telling you now.
Did they sue the police department?
Yes, they did. It would not the police department. It was handled by County Sheriff's Department. But to be honest with you, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly who they sued and which department won what.
Okay.
I know
I'm
sorry?
I'm glad that they went that step further. But could you bear with me 1 minute? I have to, at the top of the hour, 2 minutes after, and I have to...
Okay, well, I can drop off. I just wanted
to
say
that... No, you don't have to drop off. Just hold on
for
me for a minute.
Thanks. Oh, okay.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, and we're back. Thanks for holding on there, Barb. I have another question for you. What about Sharia law? I heard that Michigan said that it was okay to bring this other law into this country that they would abide by.
That is the fear. And I really don't know how much that is actually being implemented. Of course, it's not on the books at all. Now, whether they're looking the other way and it's happening, that I don't know. Okay.
So you don't know if anybody has Sharia law, whatever they do, has brought it to court in any way?
No, I don't, but you know what, I don't have that information, and I don't speak to things that I'm not knowledgeable in. But let me tell you this, several years ago, and this was a long time ago when I was working at one of the large hospitals in the area, I worked in the medical intensive care, and one of the women in the cardiac intensive care, she was married to a Muslim, and she had a couple kids with him and wanted to get a divorce. And there was some dispute over the children, I believe. But anyway, she ended up chopped up in many pieces, and they found her in several trash bags along the side of the road. You might remember that story. It was a big deal at that time, but that was about 20 years ago.
So, right.
You know, is that a form of Sharia law? Well, it certainly wasn't official or sanctioned. It was treated as murder, but that is something that did happen. Okay, and the police said, whoever did this just hated her. So, but is it any different than any other domestic violence? It was just very, very gruesome. I don't know. I do have a friend that is married to a Muslim, and he does or has in the past beat her. And I was scared to death for her. And so finally I just told her, I said, listen, don't even call. Just show up at the door, okay, if you have to. And that's kind of how I left it with her, because the things that she was telling me were frightening. She did finally call the police and had him thrown in jail for a night, and then he did calm down after that. But it's the difference between cultures. And we as American women, maybe we just don't understand that in some cultures this is okay.
But
he was from
any
this
culture,
person was,
it's really mm-hmm. not okay in any culture. It's accepted in their culture, but it's not okay.
No, it is not okay. But apparently, you know, he felt that he was entitled to do this. And, you know, finally she did take steps, but she was telling me stories that were just frightening me to death, you know. And it's not something that I would want for my daughter, okay?
Oh, absolutely not. I wouldn't want that for my daughter either. I think if one of the guys ended up hitting one of my daughters, they would be very sorry that they did.
Right. But by and large, you know, by and large, people are people. And it's basically a small group of radicals. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't, you know, people ask me, aren't you afraid to live there? No, I'm not. You know, I've had no trouble. So this is my home. I'm a Christian, so I intercede for Dearborn. And I take that very, very seriously. I'm not leaving. This is my job. And I'll stay here till it... Yeah. And where are you going to run to that it's any safer? Come on. And actually, these people, they have lovely homes. They're not interested in martial law any more than I am. They would like to move around freely. It's a small group of radicals. So, you know.
And that small group
they cause a lot of trouble. They do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Well.
But you know what? It's like anything else. If you cower, you're making yourself an easy mark. You know, I just hold up my head and walk with dignity and carry myself, you know, and I really have not had a moment's problem, but I am a little bit older, okay? And I pull that card. I use that to my advantage. But no, I haven't. I personally have not had a problem. And, you know, I have neighbors, everything. I live on the west end. The concentration of them is on the east end, but they're still only a mile or so away. I live very close to Henry Ford Village.
Right. I remember you told us about that.
Mm-hmm. I actually live on the very property of the original Ford property, the part where he had made homes for the factory workers. That's where I live. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you have any other questions? Or anybody in the chat room have a question?
Anybody in the chat room have questions? Anybody else want to call in? Any questions? 718-305-7176. No, nobody's typing anything, but I really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you for having me. And I guess my final word would be, if you cower to anything, you're going to be treated badly. Don't cower. Stand up tall and be dignified, and you'll get along much better. We have to face this square on, like men and women. And just not cower to what's going on around us.
Well, the thing with that is, you know, if we get too many of these radicals in here, they're going to start, you know, shooting us up. And
well, that is true. That is true. But, you know, let's go out with a bang then. Let's go out with some dignity. The only way we're going to win we're going to win is to be strong. And, you know, King David, the boy David, the shepherd boy David, you notice he ran at the giant, not away.
Right.
So that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing. Shoot back.
And
that's
this Benghazi thing, in my opinion, this Benghazi thing, if we would get off of all this other junk and hold their feet to the fire on Benghazi, that will impeach him, and it will also ruin Hillary's political career. We need to concentrate on Benghazi. And you notice nobody's talking about Benghazi right now. They're talking about everything else. Snowden, you know, everything else. We need to bring back and focus on the thing that will get the job done. And in my opinion, it is Benghazi.
You're absolutely right. But there's also other things, too, that...
Well, there's many other things, but you know what? Well, if we're approaching something with a shotgun fashion, we're too scattered. We need to focus with a scope and go after one thing, and everybody get behind that one thing and go for it. In my opinion, it's Benghazi.
Oh,
and people
are
very upset about the surveillance thing. That might be the other thing. But we need to focus and concentrate on one thing and put all of our energy behind anything that'll get the job done. The shotgun method has not worked.
No, it's really not. And speaking of dignity, this president doesn't have enough dignity to step down with all...
Oh, he doesn't intend on going anyplace.
No, he intends on probably trying to get another stab at... another term.
Yeah, no, we need to focus and get together and stop fighting amongst ourselves and decide what it is. I think it's Benghazi. That's my opinion. But whatever it is, we need to get behind that issue and just go for it. And focus.
You know, I was reading a little earlier about Representative Jason Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to get Colonel Bristle, and they don't know where he is because Pentagon's, you know, not playing well with others. They're not they're not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, these people in office forget that they work for us. You know, and that's what really annoys me. But I don't know if you were on listening to the interview with Dan Bongino, but
I just popped in. No, I wasn't. What did he say?
Well, you know, he was talking about, of course, too much government. And
absolutely.
Yeah, but he said that it does make a difference when we all call, when everybody calls in about an issue. He says it might not make a difference at the moment, but it does make a difference. And he's been in the White House because he's an ex-Secret Service agent. So he saw right up front there that it does matter. So actually,
yes,
we
need to be burning up the phone wires. Yeah, we need to call. If you have to call every day, call in every day. And just bug them.
I'm calling one person or another every day.
Everybody needs to do that because there's too few people that seem to be awake. I talk to people wherever I go, and I get this deer in the headlights look, like, what are you talking about? People really don't seem to be aware.
Bear with me one second. Friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself the Pelican, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what do you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and the hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Okay. All right. We do need to, there's a lot more people who, because of the listening in on and Verizon and their database of everybody's phone calls and emails, that woke a lot of people up.
Yes, it did.
But, which is a good thing because now they're seeing this is really what's going on because, you know, they thought we were crazy when we would say something, but, you know, everything that we were saying, such as the IRS targeting, you know, people are like, oh, you're crazy. What are you talking about? You know, your tinfoil hat on again. And then it comes out in truth. So we are, it's getting to be known more and more people. Even some of the liberal people that I know totally shocked the daylights out of me when they said, this president is ruining this country. He's bringing it down.
Yeah.
And I looked at this guy and said, really? And it's just only because he was such an Obama supporter. And
this NRA thing has made everybody furious. So maybe that is the issue that needs to be concentrated on, because that really is bringing all the factions together. You're doing what? You know, all of the reporters are being spied on. The Europeans are hot about this issue. I mean, they're just hot. And so that may be the issue that will turn the trick. But we do need to focus and go for it. Part of the problem is the nation geographically is so vast that, you know, it would be very difficult for us to get all those millions of people to Washington undetected, like, you know, Egypt, because we'd be on planes and stuff. And let me tell you, they would probably put us all on a no-fly list quickly. But
yeah, but they let us on because they don't pay attention to it anyway.
Well, whatever. But what I'm saying is that's part of the problem. It's geographically, it's hard to get a massive demonstration like that, you know, because you've got people, you know, from we're huge geographically. So that is a problem. But we do have telephones and we can burn up the wires. And if people are keeping their head down because they're hoping that the government doesn't notice, they know everything. Did you just hear what they did? So you might as well put your head back up and go for it. I mean, they know everything that you've done for how many years now? So there's no holding, there's no ducking. They know all about you.
Yep.
So if they're getting aggressive, we need to get more aggressive.
Yeah. And you know what? We're working on it because more and more people are coming out of the woodwork, and there's more and more groups and power, knowledge is power. And my big thing is, you know, there's a lot of people that go screaming about bill, you know, some of the bills that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if they haven't read it, I'm like, did you read the bill? Well, no, but this is what it says. Well, how do you know what it says if you haven't read it?
Exactly. Exactly. And what is really irritating me is the willful ignorance. I was telling my son, I said, you know, I don't know about everything. So what I do is I surround myself with experts, okay? I go for the gusto. I find myself an expert. I said, when you do not check out what I am saying, that's willful ignorance. I did not just fall off the turnip truck.
Right.
Okay, I just happened to be 65. But that doesn't mean that I'm totally stupid.
Right.
Okay, you need to pay attention and do your own research. That's all I ask. Take the information that I'm presenting you, and you go check and prove me wrong. And then come back and we'll discuss it. It's the willful ignorance that just burns me up. And,
Okay, let me go ahead and take another break real quick. Bear with me.
Okay.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Yes, I am. Welcome back to Women Patriots. Guests to call in if you want to get in on the conversation, or if you have questions or anything, the number is 718-305-7176. And I'm sorry, Barb, did I cut you off in the middle of saying something?
No, you know, I don't want to monopolize the conversation. I would like to hear from some of the other people in the audience, if they would call in. I'd like that.
Okay, you heard the lady.
Okay.
Respect your elders.
Call in.
That's right. I've got a Maine Walker. Run right over you. But listen, thank you very much for having me, and I'll call in again another time.
Okay, thanks so much for calling in, Barb.
Oh, thank
you. Appreciate your information out there.
Okay. I'm gonna put my phone number in your box.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye. Okay, and that was Barb from Dearborn, Michigan. She has some insight up there in Michigan, Dearborn area, because that's where she lives. And, you know, the other thing that I wanted to mention tonight, in Fort Hood, Texas, the Army psychiatrist finally had his day in court. Well, not really a day in court. They were asking potential jurors questions, and the selection has begun. Major Nidal Hassan, who is serving as his own attorney, didn't take notes to confer with his former defense attorneys, who will help him if he asks. During the nearly 2-hour proceeds with the group of potential 20 jurors, Hassan sat quietly in his wheelchair as the judge gave preliminary instructions and read about 300 witnesses' names to find out if any of the Army officers knew them. It's going to be another long process, but I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, our soldiers that were hurt and killed, their families aren't getting anything because it was workplace violence. This was not workplace violence. It's if somebody's running around going, whatever they call it, Al-Jabbar, Akbar, or something like that, and go start shooting. It's just, does not give justice to the American troops. And I had heard somewhere that he didn't want our soldiers going over to kill his buddies, which would have served me just fine. They could have gone over. Anyway, that's my two cents. I always have it. Anyway, let me go ahead and do another commercial. Oh, nope. Actually, I've got to do a live read. Let me find it. Patriot Depot. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and your Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, we're going to want a supply depot to go to for everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic t-shirts and flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best... Sorry, I haven't eaten yet. Best known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. All righty. And like I was saying, let's see, on this jury pool thing, 6 potential jurors were dismissed at prosecutor's request based on some of their answers in court Tuesday to the lengthy jury questionnaires they turned in weeks ago. One officer said he knew one of the 13 killed November 5th, 2009. You know, whatever happened to speedy trials? This is years later. Almost 4 years later. This is not speedy. This is prolonged. And our soldiers and families are suffering. That is just not cool. It really irks me. And I know I'm not unique. I know it irks a whole lot of everybody else around, too. Right. And we'll be right back.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com, that's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
That just broke my heart, that commercial. You know, they had a hearing this morning to confirm presidential nominee for FBI director. And they were asking him, and this is what reminded me of it, in the chat room, force feed. They were asking questions about how they're force-feeding the people in Gitmo. Personally, I think they if they're going to go on a starvation thing, I think they should just starve to death. I think we should just, they don't want to eat, you know, I don't care. They already think we're big, bad Americans, well, and they want to bring us down. Well, you know what? Just let them die. They're there for a reason. They're there because they're terrorists. They come out and they try to terrorize us. I'm not going to let it here. Slingshots, send them foods by slingshots or slingshots with pellets in them to get them in between the eyes, P-Dog. I don't know what you're trying to tell me there. I don't believe in force feeding them, but anyway, they were asking him questions, and I was at work, so I couldn't hear the whole thing. But he was giving some answers that
sounded good and things. He had his answers right. For the most part, anyway. He didn't have things like, oh, I'll get back to you, I don't have the facts, and things like that. So, that's a good sign. He had his act together. Feed them with slingshots. You're so funny. So it was kind of interesting. You know, and when I'm at work, I have to take phone calls, so I can't hear the whole time. So, but from what I did hear, you could always go to C-SPAN to go back and listen. That's what I do. And that's how I know. You know, when I've talked about people not reading bills, and they all have an opinion on them without reading them, here in North Carolina, there's been a big to-do about how the Republicans, the legislative offices, they passed a bill, and now they want the governor to sign it, and it has to do with women's health and abortions. And, you know, the big controversy, there were, it was kind of done in an overnight way, which I didn't agree with, but it needed to get done. They knew it was going to get done, but the public didn't speak about it first before they did passed it. Well, now there's a big to-do, of course, because what they really want to do is clean up the clinics. They want a doctor in there, a medical doctor. They want clean facilities. They want to give information to the people, to the women who may not know the whole emotional, the physical, and actually some abortions can fall into the category of you can never have kids again because it's been that bad. I know somebody that happened to. And, you know, of course she regrets that today. But when you're 15 years old, you don't regret it. Knowledge is power. And if these people going to clinics to get abortions don't have the knowledge, then it's going to be, and they just go there as a form of birth control. Well, that's not healthy. And that's basically in a nutshell of what was in that bill. And I read it. And then, of course, you have all these people up at the legislative building protesting. And, you know, there was some in favor of the bill, protesting for the bill. And, of course, I have a Facebook page for that. And I told somebody, you know, ask these protesters if they've read the bill. And actually go ahead and record it. You know, get your phone out and record it. And I haven't heard anything back yet, so I wonder if she did do that. But, oh, yeah, hi, Blue Unchained, sorry. Dan's gone. He did a great job while he was here. Anyway, you know, a lot of people do that. I mean, a lot of people think this Obamacare is all yay, rah-rah, 2,000 pages later, and the 20,000 pages of amendments to it, it's just really stupid. But, you know, this Obamacare is something that Hillary wanted many years ago, if anybody remembers. And it's a disaster, as we know. It's on hold now. I'm sorry. You can find us at www.conservativenationradio.org. And that's where we do have podcasts of it. Just click on the Listen Live. No, he didn't. Do you want to call in and tell us? Blues Unchained. Number here is 718-305-7176. Okay. Well, he's getting ready to call in. Let me go ahead and take care of a little business first. Okay, again, that number is 718-305-7176. And join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday night right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show. His new time is at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America and the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, I have no idea what that word is, Fridays at 5 Central, and 5 Eastern, 4 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Okay. And I got you. Welcome to Women Patriots Blues.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, my name is Bob. I live in Maryland, Carroll County. And I'll definitely be listening to the archives when it pops up. But, yeah, I was actually listening to Dan came on as a guest on Derek Hunter's show here in Baltimore, WBA, yeah, great conservative. He's really good. He has a talk show every from noon till 3 on WBAL in Baltimore, and you can listen to that on WBAL.com. Anyways, I was listening to it one afternoon. Dan was a guest, and he was mentioning, this is about 2 weeks ago or so, he was mentioning that the representative here, Democrat Chris Van Hollen, was having a meet and greet at Carroll County Community College in Westminster. And so the Tea Party, local Tea Party group, decided they were going to go, you know, and set up shop too and have a meet and greet as well and say hi. And nothing, you know, out of the ordinary or whatever. But and it was billed as being open to anybody, you know. And so the Tea Party group wanted to go down there as well. And the Democrat Central Committee, quote unquote, how Soviet is that, you know? they tried to block the local Tea Party group from showing up at Carroll County Community College, and even went to file an injunction with a judge. And fortunately, the judge was like, "What is this? This is nuts." And even to Chris Van Hollen's credit, that he said, "No, anybody can come down." But the fact that they would even try to block the local Tea Party group from showing up to that is indicative. And they told the judge that the Tea Party had violent tendencies. And Dan was the one on that show who basically let everybody know. Excuse me. And so it turned out, you know, that they couldn't block it, but it's just real instructive and indicative of what's going on here in the state of Maryland with the Democrat Party. They're totalitarian as almost anything, you know, KGB would do, almost. And Dan was the one that pretty much brought it up on that show a couple weeks back. And did he get a chance to mention the redistricting that is going on in Maryland?
No, he didn't. We just went through that here in North Carolina, and I'll tell you, I'm not happy with my representative.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. They put, like, they basically split up black district into it accomplished two things for Democrats. It prevented a black candidate from winning, but it also put enough Democrat voters in the same district as, Roscoe Bartlett out in Western Maryland. It was basically designed to defeat him. He'd been there a long, long time. And so, like, you have a Western Maryland's like 3 hours away, and they're having a district that, you know, encompasses Western Maryland with, like, parts of Montgomery County and Frederick County just so they could defeat Roscoe Bartlett. It's just hideous maps. You can go online and research. Like, there's one site that has before and after. And it's just ridiculous. But he also brought that to light, too, a couple times on radio as well. So,
wow.
I just wanted to call in about the Central Committee. I mean, that just struck me as being, I'm a veteran, you know, I served during the Cold War, so we kind of studied what the Soviets were doing propaganda-wise. And it just really struck me as being incredibly Soviet-like.
Well,
they actually told the judges the Tea Party has violent tendencies, which is pure BS.
That's what the mainstream media does. I mean, I got the DVD Hating Breitbart. And did you follow Andrew Breitbart at all before he died?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of his. I mean, he was a real, to my book, he's an American hero.
Oh, absolutely. And so are you. Thank you, by the way, for your service.
Well, thank you. I didn't see combat or anything. I just, you know. We did lose a couple guys in training, though. Not in combat, but, you know.
But you were prepared. You were ready.
Right. That's
true. You were
trained.
Yep. I appreciate that. And unfortunately, I'm sorry that our government's treating our veterans like crap, because they're the ones that deserve a whole lot more than these people getting Obama phones.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, as a veteran, one of the first things that Obama did was put Janet Napolitano in charge of DHS, Homeland Security there. And one of the first things she did was say that veterans like me, who, and if you believed in what, states' rights, if you're a veteran, that we're the ones that they need to watch out for as domestic terrorism.
You know, and the Tea Partiers. And
right.
Obama said it again while he was in Africa. You know, it was stated that, you know, the Tea Party is where, and so when the NSA is listening to domestic terrorists, we know they're all listening
right.
to us, because that's what they think we are. But
right.
that's what the mainstream media also says that we are. And people that have known me for a long time, and they find out that I'm a Tea Partier, it's like, oh my God, really? I haven't changed. I really haven't changed. I'm still not a racist. I'm still very American, and I still speak my piece. And that's not going to change. You know, but Janet Napolitano also said that our borders are secure. And
right.
we know they're not. We actually, I don't know if you've heard of Dennis Michael Lynch, but if you go to his website, it's www.theycometoamerica.com. He was out there in the field videotaping where nobody else will go.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to, I'm going to assume it's Janet Napolitano or someone up there in the administration, they have a nice big bucket of water for them. You know, when they come through the fence, there's a big, like, 10-gallon jug of water.
Right.
Yet our Border Patrol agents aren't allowed to do anything. Their hands are tied. And
yeah.
They're going to try to pass this immigration bill. They are the ones that are crazy. They're crazy.
Well, they want more Democrat voters. That's all it's about. Nothing else. And it's interesting you brought the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol has to go and fight against those assault rifles that the Obama administration let go south of the border during Fast and Furious.
Yes. And it's also one of our agents were killed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an article just like last week in the L.A. Times that a police chief in Mexico, they traced the weapon that he was killed with, and sure enough, where do you think it came from? One of the Fast and Furious guns killed a police chief in the state of, I don't know how you pronounce it, Jalisco, I think it is called, Guadalajara, whatever.
And they never take responsibility for it. But
no.
If you go to that website, this is his second DVD. His first one, I believe, came out in late 2011. It may have been 2012. It may have been last year. I don't remember off the top of my head. But go to that website. I encourage all of my listeners to go to that website and send it to your representatives. I've been sending it to everybody that I can possibly think of. The borders are not secure. They need to know this because they need to know the reality. Because you got the Gang of Eight going down there. Oh, it's not that bad. Really? Where they didn't go deep down in the woods. They didn't go deep down into the fence. Either that or, you know, the drug cartel was told, stand down a little while, you know? Anyway, yeah, go to that website. It's really good. It's very informational. Coming to America 2 is going to be coming out, I believe it's in August, maybe September. I, again, don't remember that off the top of my head. But check it out and get that message out to people because they need to know what's coming through. Well, thanks for calling. You know, people do need to know that we're not the racists. We're not the terrorists. And you got here late, and I had said it earlier. It's when one person's pointing the finger, three more are coming back. So all those people that are calling us racist are the biggest racists around.
They are the racists.
I.e. Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. You know, they are the racists.
Yeah, they are racist, but I also go even further than that. I blame white liberals because they're the ones sit there and preach this multiculturalism is so wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But yet, think about this logically. I'm here outside of Baltimore. I'm from D.C. I've been in a lot of major cities, and I'm a musician. I've been in bands where I'm the only non-black guy in the band, and we're playing Chitlin Circuit clubs in the deep hood, you know. And there's no white liberals anywhere to be found, but they're the ones talking about how wonderful multiculturalism is. They don't have friends that live in the hood or the barrios. They don't hang out in South Bronx, East Baltimore, Southeast D.C., East L.A. There's no white liberals to be found. You know what I mean? They're the biggest hypocrites, and they use my – I'm half-breed myself. I'm half Hispanic and half white. And they use minorities, and they buy the minorities' votes dirt cheap. You know, they give these illegal aliens coming up from Mexico to them coming into America and getting a crappy apartment in the projects where half the houses are boarded up and there's rats and roaches and bullets flying and ambulances and cops going up and down the streets all day long. To them, that's an upgrade. We would look at it as, how could anybody want to live in that? But to them, that's an upgrade.
Right.
The Democrats are buying those votes dirt cheap. And guess what? Conservative taxpayers are All right, we're having our money is funding our own demise. That's how devious these white liberals are. They really are devious.
You're right.
Those are the ones. Those are the ones that I target every chance I get. And like you said, every time they point a finger and start calling us racism, whatever, I'm like, well, you're preaching multiculturalism. I start speaking Spanish to them. They don't know what I'm saying to them. You know what I mean? I've been studying these white liberals for about a good 10 years here, man. They are really a deep study in psychology, and above all else, they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'm not shy being a former Marine. I welcome the fight. You know what I mean? And when it's like 10 of them and one of me, I tell them you need 20 more to make it fair. And I'll have all of them. have smoke coming out of their ears with their heads about ready to pop off their shoulders because, here's another video I would recommend to everybody to see. It's a former KGB agent who defected here named Yuri Bezmenov. And those videos, he's giving an interview for about an hour and 20 minutes, and he's also doing a seminar for an hour and 20 minutes. There's two separate videos. And in the video, he explains how they infiltrate education, media, places like Hollywood. And he said basically that you've had several generations of American students that have had Marxist-Leninist ideology pumped into their soft brains for several generations, and it has gone unchallenged. So I love to be the challenge to them.
Could you could you put that in the chat for me, the
yes,
website?
Sure.
Or the guy's name? That would be great. We only have a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to bring Duke on because he's going to tell us about his show. Hi, Duke.
Good evening, Barbara. How are you tonight, my friend?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
Oh, just fine. And as you mentioned now, the gentleman that with whom you were just speaking, absolutely fascinating, and I hope that... We hear from him again here on conservativenationradio.org tomorrow night on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Among my guests tomorrow night will be a physician from New Jersey whose name is Dr. Alida Eck, and she and her husband are practicing physicians. She is running for the United States Senate in New Jersey. Obviously, since Senator Frank Lautenberg died, Governor Christie has called a special election, and she is running for the Republican nomination, and I will be very honored to have Dr. Alida Eck on the air with me tomorrow night, and I hope everyone will have the opportunity to check it out and tune in. Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Wednesday nights, be there or be square, whatever that means. I have no idea what that means. I don't know. Maybe
either you're a nerd or you're cool. That's what that means.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, be cool and listen to Radio Free RFA on CNR. That's the deal.
All righty. Well, thank you for calling in. Duke, we'll look forward to your show. And Bob, thank you for calling in and giving us all that good information. Appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for listening. The show is just about over, so I am going to go ahead and take us out. Thank you again, everyone.